All righty, are we ready to delve into God's Word? Okay, open your Bibles with me. This should not be hard. To Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3. Okay, I want to begin by saying that there are over 6,000 known phobias in our world. Over 6,000 known phobias. You know, we have the fear of the number 13. Have y'all ever been in an elevator in a building where it goes, the floors are lighting up and it goes 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15. Why did it skip 13? It's the fear of the number 13. There's also another fear, the fear of black cats. Now, I don't mind a kitty cat being black, but if it's a large, you know, puma, I tell you what, that's a mighty different story. But the point is that there are so many different fears. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully, church family. This is going to be a very good message, and it'll apply to all of us. But did you know that every human being was only born with two fears? The fear of sound, of loud noises, number one, and the fear of falling down. And yet, there are over 6,000 phobias in our world, in the human condition. What do those statistics say to us? They say to us that we can learn fears, right? We were only born with two fears, the fear of a loud noise and the fear of falling down, but there are over 6,000 phobias, and that means we can learn how to become afraid of certain things. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Amen. We can learn. Fear is a learned behavior. But we can also, the good news about that statistic and that observation is that we can also unlearn certain fears. We can unlearn fear. Once you grab a hold of the truths that we'll look at tonight and understand that the Lord does not want us to live in fear. I wonder how many people, you know, because everybody talks as if, you know, fear is just a part of normal life. Well, let's make a distinction. There are natural fears that we should respect. Hello. If there's a bulldog charging at you, frothing at the mouth, baby, I hope you're afraid enough to get your feet to moving. Right? Feet, don't fail me now. You know, Cynthia and I were at the zoo, in Scoville Zoo yesterday, yes. And I was very close, the closest I've ever been to a wolf. And I was trying to antagonize it a little bit to see his teeth. He was unmoved by me. But I saw his paws and I thought, those dudes, I felt some kind of vibe between us. Because that guy, wow, I've never been that close to a wolf. And the paws it has, I was like, wow, it's... They look like a dog, like a large dog, but they're meaner than a junkyard, right, Mr. IQ? Is that a yes?
There used to be a few in around this part of the country.
Right, I'm sure. But the point is, there are natural fears that we need to respect. How many of y'all believe that we need to have a natural, a healthy fear for the power of electricity? Right? You better, or it's going to fry you to smithereens.
Light you up.
It'll like a little Christmas tree, like Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase. So, pardon my movie references. Some of you are like, huh? Sorry. I've got to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm glad that some of my illustrations hit the younger crowd and just kind of sail over our older crowd, because I'm thinking that'll leave less explaining to do and I'll be good. But anyway, okay, I love to have fun when we're ministering the word. So anyway, so what does that say? We can unlearn the same fears. Fear, though it is natural and common to the human condition, is not God's will for his people. I'm going to throw a statistic out to you, and it's verified. I've heard it verified before. You know, the term fear not or do not be afraid, depending on the translation that you read or you have. It is mentioned 365 times in the entire Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And I believe that that's not coincidental. 365 times, do not be afraid, do not fear. Why? For I am with you. But the number is so that we could have one of those do not fears for every day of the year. Amen? God does not want us to live in fear. We have to be convinced of that. We have to be convinced of that. Otherwise, any small little thing that happens, we'll be like chickens running with our heads cut off. Can I shoot it straight tonight? I mean, we only have, what, 25 minutes? So, I'm speaking from experience, okay? I'm speaking, one of the greatest deliverances that the Lord ever performed on me was to be delivered from fear. Because everything I ever did as a human being, from my childhood to my teenagehood, well into my 20s, was fear-driven. Fear paralyzed me. I wanted so badly to play high school football, but I never tried out because I feared that I would get banged up or knocked out or something. There was always a reason that paralyzed my life from trying things. So I always played my life close to the vest, because I was stricken with fear. And then not only that, I had an earthly father that he was driven by fear. Everything that was said in the news panicked him. I remember one time when I was 14, he was having a father, kind of a come to Jesus talk, father to son. And he said, Joe, I believe that this earth is probably going to end by the time before I die. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to look like in your lifetime. And, you know, my dad's been gone 10 years and, you know, earth is still here. You know what he was doing? He was regurgitating the printed letters on the newspaper that he continually, the newspaper and the 6 o'clock and the 10 o'clock news to my daddy, that was the gospel truth. The Bible was a myth, but the gospel truth was whatever the newspaper said, whatever the news anchorman said. And then provide that with an unhealthy environment. I remember as a kid when my mom and my dad used to argue, the deep insecurity that gave me, because I did not know if they were going to be together, especially when they started throwing the word divorce around. People, word should not be in our vocabulary. You can use murder, but not divorce. I know what that did to me. It bred a lot of insecurity. A child needs to know, listen, the best thing that a man can do to his wife or for his child is to love his wife in front of his child and to reassure that child that we are in this till death do us part. Amen? But insecurities were bred in me. I lived in a hot house of fear. Why do I say that? Because that was the launching pad of my life. That was a foundation of my life. Everything I was afraid of. You know, Dad still, out of love and concern for me, even into my adult years when I started running marathons, he read somewhere that runners were dying of heart attacks. And, you know, my philosophy is if I ever kill over out on a run, praise the Lord, I was doing something I enjoyed. You know, I'd rather die that way than to be plugged up to tubes for months on end and be a burden to my family. But Dad used to say, Joe, you got to quit running those distances. Why? I love them. It's my life. It's my legs. Oh, I wish I had a $20 bill for every time people in, no one here in different churches, well, you're going to need knee replacement surgery. And those same people that told me I was going to need knee replacement surgery, they got theirs before I did. Who's bad? Some people are just... Never mind. Okay, moving right along. So we've got to be careful, church family. Don't accept fear just because it is present. Don't accept fear. Resist fear. In fact, one of the greatest battles you'll fight in your spiritual life is the battle to live fear-free. But it can be done. It can be done. Can I get a witness, please? So how did fear begin? Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3. Okay, we know this is the story of the fall. And I want us to zoom in at once the Lord is calling out for Adam, knowing that Adam had partaken of the forbidden fruit and Eve as well. Let's jump into verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And then, verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? Can you really hide yourself from the presence of the Lord? No.
You can't.
You can. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was what?
Afraid
because I was naked, and I hid myself." This is the first recorded incident of fear in the Bible. It came in with Adam and Eve, fear. And it has been here with us to this very day. Right? Fear, my family, is not what should motivate us. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4, please. Would someone like to read verse 18 of 1 John 4?
Fear is love. A perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And those who fear is not made perfect.
Okay, fear has to do with punishment. Does anybody else's Bible say the word torment? Does fear, and does not fear bring torment into our lives? It brings torment. Man, I'm telling you, fear is an old friend of mine, but thankfully I broke off that relationship. You know, I lived in fear that I would never make it. I lived in fear that I wouldn't graduate with my diploma. I lived in fear that I would flunk in college. I lived in fear. It paralyzed me. It paralyzed me so badly to where when I was 19 years old, just turned 20, I began to experience panic attacks to where these were horrible attacks where I felt like my mind was racing, my heart was pounding so fast, I could not breathe. I thought I was going crazy. I thought I was dying on the spot. Listen, if you've never had a panic attack, man, you are blessed. But I'm telling you, those are not fun.
Amen.
And I had them for years because that fear, I'd never dealt with it. I did not know any better. Okay? But I want to encourage you, church family, listen, there is hope for us. I want to share this mercifully. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Who would like to read verse 7 of 2 Timothy 1? Okay, thank you. Notice, God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and of love. And that word, self-disciplined, is really the actual word in the Greek. Sound mind is not a good translation. A disciplined mind is a good translation. Now, let me see. What added to my fears was that I was the firstborn of the Brazino brothers. And so I'm type A personality. I'm a go-getter. I'm driven. Baby, you don't have to teach me discipline. You'll never have to encourage me to be disciplined. Never. Because I'm always my worst critic. I'm always out there. I'm always self-driven. I've always been that way. If I, you know, if I need to, if I want to be bigger in my arms, I just lift weights. No big deal. I have some people ask me, What motivates you every day to run and try to be in shape? Nothing motivates me. Habits keep me on track. I don't need motivation. I don't turn on Eye of the Tiger music to get me pumped up. I don't need that. I'm disciplined. I have a disciplined mind, and that's what the Lord will give us. Love. What does love do to fear? We just read it in 1 John 4:18. Drives it out. Love drives out fear. Let me ask you, do you have faith in God's love for you? That because He loves you, He's going to take care of you? Right? He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Did we sing that tonight?
No. We did.
It might have been this morning. Anyway, God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us because He loves us. Love drives out fear. The second one, power. If there is something fear will short circuit in our lives, is our power. Well, for sure, we have spiritual power in Jesus, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I'm an open book, church family. Listen, I always used to be very insecure, and I think that that's how sometimes insecurity and guilt breed fears. They work together. Insecurities kind of breed fears, and I was a very insecure young man, well into my 20s, even some in my 30s. But once I started really choosing to believe who I was, in Christ Jesus, not in me. Listen, I started having a confidence. You know, how many of y'all were at the ordination? I'm telling you, everything they prophesied over me was spot on. Was spot on. You know, when that gentleman from Australia, from Hillsong, Australia, prophesied over me, he said, God's going to use you, God's going to bring you to the fore, because he said two things, because you have great confidence and you have great boldness. Remember that when he said that? Church family, I'm a very confident individual. Not because I think I'm all that. Sometimes it sounds that way, but I'm not all that. But I know who I am in Christ. And sometimes when I get around not a present company excluded, but some insecure people, I come across as too strong for them. Trust me, it is not my confidence. I have no confidence in me. I have no confidence in the arm of the flesh, do you? I know in and of myself I will fail the Lord 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, but you also know that He won't fail you.
He won't fail you. But I don't trust in myself.
No.
Go with me to Proverbs 3, please. Proverbs 3. There is freedom from fear. Let's begin reading with verse 21, please. My son, let them, my sayings, not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion so that they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Notice the consequence of our doing that. Then you will walk how?
Safely
in your way, and your foot will not? When you lie down, you will not be what?
Afraid.
Do you realize that when I was younger, when I was in college, that I feared every time. When it was night, I wanted it to be morning. When it was morning, I wanted it to be night. I suffered horribly from panic attacks. And so now I want to tell people, baby, you don't have to live that way. Look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord can do. And He can do it, church family. All right, go with me to verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, so let me kind of highlight one of the phrases there. Do we lean on our understanding too much? Do we feel like we have to figure it out? Man, I would have never guessed that the way the Lord would kind of direct my life, but I'm thankful that He's directed it the way He has. Can I get a witness in the house? You know, I could have never fathomed that I'd be doing what I'm doing, but I'm thankful and I'm very happy that I'm doing what I'm doing. Because at some point, we have to let go. Can I say it, church family, without sounding simplistic? And let God manage our lives and trust His timing and trust His will and trust His way. Right? It's surrender. It's like, Lord, You have to work through me. You have to redirect the paths. You know, I believe provision comes in a myriad of ways. Rescue comes from a myriad of ways. When God delivers, you know, the Bible says He delivers from the hands of many or from the hands of few. But we can't try to figure out how God's going to bring deliverance to us. You know what? I'll close with this illustration. I remember the way God led me. God healed me of those panic attacks. God did heal me supernaturally. But I have to tell you that I was in college and, you know, I did not know at the time. Now I know that in my family line, there is a lack of serotonin in our biochemistry. My dad had a lack of serotonin. It's genetic. And that's the way we were dealt. Kind of not the best hand in that department, but you have to make the best of what is. And so nobody taught me that when I was 19. I just remember the Lord telling me, you know, in a moment of prayer, He said, I want you to go on a diet. I want you to eat salads. I want you to cut out all the caffeinated drinks, no coffee, no Coke. I'm honest, as I'm telling you, this is what happened. The Lord said, cut all that off. I want you to eat healthy. And so I started doing what the Lord told me. Within a month, those panic attacks were gone. I didn't know that that the caffeine was stimulating all of these negative responses from me. You know, and then over time, I can only speak for myself. I got lazy about it. And then another thing that I had within myself was anger issues. I had anger issues. And anger, can I talk to you scientifically, church family? Anger is only going to eat and deplete your serotonin levels. Unmanaged anger will chomp away at that fight or flight chemical that God's put in our brains. That's the fight or flight that tempers the panic attacks. So because of my angry outbursts when I was young and recently married, you know, the Lord would tell me, Joe, you got to deal with that anger. I remember clear as day, I was probably 27. The Lord would tell me, Joe, you got to deal with that anger. Very gently, Joe, you got to deal with that anger. And I wouldn't. I would just blow it off and blow it off and blow. Little did I know what my unmanaged anger was doing was eating away at that serotonin level. Well, the panic attacks came back. I'm just talking about me. Is that okay if I just talk about me, church family? It's not a cure-all. Look, I'm just telling you that God is faithful and He's delivered me and He can deliver anybody, okay? So, what the Lord did then is I had the panic attacks and I remember, if I want to communicate something to you guys, is that God, don't put them in a box. God will communicate to you in a vast number of ways. And I had those panic attacks and I was beginning to feel they were attacks from the devil. And then one afternoon I turned on John Hagee Ministries. It was in the early 90s. Wow, I'll never forget it. And he was talking about a lady that had gone into his office, one of his church members, thinking that the devil was after her. And he said he had the wisdom to tell that lady, ma'am, I don't think you need to have deliverance from a demon. I think you need to go to your family doctor. When he said that, that spoke volumes to me. I need to go to my family doctor. And they prescribe medication. Now I'm at a very, very low dosage of it. The very lowest dosage you can have. But back then, that spoke to me. That was God saying, Joe, I'm not going to deliver you the way I delivered you the first time. I want to deliver you differently from this. And we're going to go this other route. Now, real quick note on medication. God uses medication.
Amen.
Thank you. God is not against medication. One of the people that traveled with Paul, what was his profession? He was a doctor, Dr. Luke, right? He's the author of the Gospel of Luke. And the Bible says when Paul healed people, notice, very interesting, when Paul healed people, it said it uses two different Greek words. One of the Greek words means to heal supernaturally, and the other, it's a Greek word therapoio, which means that God used therapy or God used medicine to heal people on Paul's missionary journeys. So, I want to tell you again, church family, don't put God in a box. There's hope. But we receive this, there's hope for us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Lord God, thank you, Father, for blessing us, speaking to us, comforting us. Father, strengthening us in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for being so good to us and faithful, Lord. You never forget about us in our lowest state. You remember us, Lord. And Father, every test can become a testimony to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.